Amen. You can be seated. Morning.
Morning.
It's a good day. I'm excited. Next week, we're starting. Wow, that's power. We're starting a new series next week where we're going to be walking verse by verse through just one chapter, Romans chapter 12. It's just been titled Romans chapter 12 in view of the mercies of God. And so I'm excited to see what God has in store for us as individuals, but also us as a church. As a church family, we are in our 30 days of prayer, and all of us together have been seeking the Lord daily, weekly, during prayer walks, during our time in worship, and we're entering into our last week of these 30 days, and so I just want to ask you to remain faithful in doing that, and although this intentional focus work is going to end in 1 week, we must always be a church family that's fully dependent on God in prayer. A.W. Tozer said this about the early church in Acts and their prayer life. He said, prayer was an automatic exercise for those in the early church. Nothing delighted them more than gathering together for prayer. They were praying people, and not only that, God was working through their prayers. The early church is a great example for us today, especially when it comes to prayer. They knew that they needed to be united in mind, in mission, and united in prayer. And they knew that if they wanted to be used by God, they needed to be walking with God, and they needed to be devoted fully to God in prayer and to pray together. Well, in our first week of our study, we saw four reasons as to why we pray, four reasons that would guide us as we prayed over this month, over these 30 days. And in no particular order, we saw this, that we pray to experience that intimacy and that relationship that we're meant to have with God. We were created to walk with God. We were created to have that intimacy and that close relationship with Him. We pray that God would be glorified, that Christ would be glorified. We pray because we are fully dependent on Him. The Bible tells us that apart from Him, we can do nothing, right? And so we pray to be fully dependent on Him, and we pray, church, to be a part of what God is doing. God is at work here at Authentic Life, but not only here, but in Tucson and throughout the world. And here's the good news, church. He wants to use you. He wants to use us as a church. And so this morning, we're going to look at a passage that talks about that. It's all about being a part of what God is doing. And this morning, it's going to be slightly different than how we normally do things, because instead of waiting until the end, we're going to pause in the middle of our time together, and we're going to just pause and pray. And so to begin, before we dive into the Word this morning, I've asked Sam Johnston to come and lead us in this time in the Word. And so, Sam, would you come and pray? And then we'll dive in.
All right, let's pray. Lord, you are amazing. You are glorified. You are magnified, as we were singing. We know that you are working here in Tucson. You are spreading your gospel. You are building your church. You are at work. You are moving. And we pray that you would allow us to join in with that, that we would be a part of that, that you use us, use our lives, use our hearts, use our resources and our time to be a part of what you're doing, that we would surrender those things that are holding us back, that we would join in, we would be joyful and happy as we do your work, and that we would preach the gospel, and that we would invite others and have others join us to do that as well. We pray that you would help us to grow here today during this church service, during this message, and that you would speak to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. This morning, we're going to be in a pretty famous passage in Mark chapter 6. Go ahead and turn there with me. Mark chapter 6. If you need a Bible, there's one at the table in the back. And in these verses, we find one of the most well-known miracles that Jesus performed. It's a moment in his life that's recorded in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John all have those. And we know it as the feeding of... And in this passage, when Jesus is doing what only Jesus can do, what only God can do, we're going to see him invite and call his disciples to be a part of this miracle. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. leading up to this moment, Jesus had sent his disciples out on a short missionary trip. Anybody been on a missionary trip before? You just go out and maybe to somewhere in the United States or another country, but they're out on a short missionary journey, and they're sent out by Jesus to call people to turn back to God and to follow Jesus. And so these men, they had been with Jesus. They're watching him, they're listening to him, they're learning from him, they're following him. But in verse 7 of chapter 6, Jesus sends them out. And now their trip is over, their missionary, short-term missionary trip is over. They finished what God has sent them out to do, and they're coming back to Jesus. And that's what we're going to pick up today in Mark chapter 6, reading verses 30 through 44. Would you guys honor God and his word by standing with me? And we're going to read this passage. You guys follow along as I read this morning. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. Here's what God's word says. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to Jesus all they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. Verse 33. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to Jesus and said, "This place is desolate and it is already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And then we found out, they said, "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups in the grass field. They sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves. And he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. He divided up the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves." You may be seated, church. As we pray about being used by God and being a part of what Jesus is doing all around us, our goal today as we look at our text is to see 4 things. 4 things from this passage that we need to know and that we need to live out as we pray about being used by God and being a part of what he's doing. And so for the first one, let's look at verse 30. It'll be on the Bibles there as well. It says this. It says, gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while, for there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. So after being on this missionary trip, on this mission trip, the disciples, they come back to Jesus. They gathered together with Jesus, and they began to had that relationship with him. They began to talk with him. And Jesus said to them, he said, "Guys, let's go to a secluded place and let's rest a while. You guys come and be with me and be together with just us and let's rest a while." This reminds me of Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where Jesus calls people to him. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus gives the rest. And so the disciples, they get into the boat and they're headed to a secluded place where it's just going to be them and Jesus. And I think this is really important for us to see, church, because there is so much that Jesus could be doing, right? There are so many people who need Jesus in his time. And for the disciples, there's so much that they could be doing for Jesus. But we need to see what Jesus is doing and what he's saying here. Am I on here? All right. We need to see what Jesus is saying and doing here. He's showing them, church, that he's available. He wants them to spend time with him because he loves them and he knows what's best for them. He's never too busy for his church. And he's also telling them, guys, it's really good to serve and to teach and to do ministry and to be on mission, but he's also saying something else. It's also really good to take the time to just be with Jesus, to be with others who are following Jesus. We see this with Mary and Martha, pretty famous story, right? Martha is busy serving Jesus. She's doing all of this work, and Jesus, she's doing it for him. She's doing all this work and this serving, and it was good stuff, but Jesus reminds her in that moment that it's still necessary for her to spend time with him and to rest with him. And so for us, our first takeaway as we think about and pray about being used by Jesus is this: we need to take the time to rest and to be with Jesus. We need to do that. For me, recently, I've noticed that in my life. Like, sometimes you can't pour into someone else if you're empty. Amen, church? Right? And so, man, I just noticed that I was running a little dry, a little empty, and I knew that I had to schedule more time with Jesus. Because there's a lot of ministry to do, church, right? There's a lot to do on mission. There's a plenty of serving for Jesus and with Jesus. But I needed to take a little bit more time each day just to rest and to be with him, to be intentional about spending more time in his word and seeking him in prayer and just being with him. It's important for us to understand, church, that mission and ministry are the overflow of relationship with Jesus. It's the second thing in your notes. Mission and ministry are the overflow of relationship with Jesus. When we spend time with him, his life and his word and his love begin to pour into us. And as a result of that, the result of that is this: when his life and his word and his love pour into us, then it begins to overflow out of us and pour out of us. Church, I've seen a lot of people in ministry and missionaries and pastors, friends of mine, that just crash and burn. Just people within the church that crash and burn because they're serving, but they're not taking the time to be with Jesus. And so our service, our giving, our ministry, our mission is the overflow of being with him. And so this is important for the rest of what we're going to talk about today. When we spend time with him, we begin to live our life with Jesus always in our mind and always on our heart. I remember with Jessica, the more time I spent with her, the more time I thought about her. Amen? Men, like that, men, just help me out. Say amen, okay? It'll help your relationship, okay? Right? It'll help your marriage there a little bit, right? But the more time I spent with her, the more she was on my heart and in my mind. The more time we spend with Jesus and his life begins to flow into ours. I see some of you guys out there. Good job, man. All right? You just set yourself up until next, you know, Valentine's Day. But church, I'm telling you, man, we got to spend time with him. And when we do, he will be on our mind and he will be on our hearts. And that changes when we spend time with him. It changes how we live. Because now we begin to see things as the Lord does. We begin to do things for his glory and not ours. We begin to live our life on mission for him and with him. So that's number one. If we want to be used by Jesus, we need to remember that we must intentionally spend time and rest with Jesus. And that leads us to number two. And for that, let's look at verse 33. It said, "The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach many things." It's important to understand what it means when it said that Jesus saw the people. This is a deeper word than just to glance at someone or to look at them. It means to look at someone with the intent to know and understand them. If you're looking at something to try to figure them out, man, I think about my kids, my boys especially, they find a bug outside. What do? They want to get close, real close, and examine that thing, right? And so that's the idea, is to look at someone with the intent to know them and understand them. And so when Jesus saw this group of people, it said that Jesus, after seeing them, he felt compassion for them. He saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus uses this phrase a few different times, and the phrase "sheep without a shepherd" really came from the Old Testament. In Isaiah 53, we see a little bit of it. It says this: "We all went astray like sheep. We have all turned to our own way." Meaning we've all turned away from the Lord. We've all turned away from our shepherd. Jesus, when he truly looked at these people, he saw that they were in need of a shepherd. They were in need of the Lord. They were in need of him, of Jesus. And when Jesus saw that, it said that he felt compassion for them. Compassion is a great word, church. It's actually one of the core values of our church. And when we see this word used in the gospel, it is connected to Jesus. Compassion is a word that actually means to be moved from within. To be honest with you, it's not a word that they would probably use back in the day to be romantic, because it meant to be moved from within the bowels. Don't try that one, man. That won't work, okay? But it means to be moved from within. It means to have a gut-wrenching love for someone. And compassion is always followed with action, church. When we have compassion, when Jesus has compassion, he has action. And so Jesus saw these people. He saw them as people. Church, he saw them as people, not how we segregate them, but he saw them. They were people who were made in the image of God. They were image bearers of God. They were people who were made to walk and talk and be in relationship with God. They were people that Jesus loved, church. But he also sees a people who, because of their own sin, are far from God. They need God. They need their shepherd. And so Jesus, out of compassion, he responds. In verse 34, it says this, and he began to teach them many things. He sees them, right? He understands their condition. He has compassion, and his action is he goes to them and begins to teach them many things. Jesus would teach them things and tell them what they needed to hear. I believe he tells them about the love of God and that how much they needed him as their Savior. And he began to teach them about God's word. Don't miss, church, as Jesus is teaching, guess who's seeing all of this? The disciples. The disciples are seeing Jesus look at these people. They see Jesus have compassion written all over his face. And they see Jesus not just say, oh, man, that's really bad. Let's pray for them and move on. He takes action. And after having compassion, he begins to teach them. The disciples see all of that. And that gives us our second thing as we pray about being used by God. If we want to be used by Jesus, church, then we must reflect the life and compassion of Jesus. When we spend time with Jesus, we learn from him. And we learn to live and love like him. We cannot become more and more like Jesus if we don't spend time with him. You can read all the books you want, but if we're not spending time with Jesus, you can't be like him. You can't live like him. You can't love like him. You can't reflect his life and his compassion. And so when we spend time in his word and we see and personally experience that he's a compassionate God and a Lord and a Savior, and he takes action towards those who are without a shepherd, church, it changes how we see people and how we respond toward people. And we learn that compassion leads to action. If you want to know if you have compassion or if you're compassionate or not, you got to see, is that respond in me doing something? Because if it doesn't, I would say it's probably not compassion. And so when we see people in need, when we see people who are far from God, we go to God and we say, God, how do I respond? How do I live out compassion for those you love? And so, church, before we go any further, I just want us to pause and I want us to stop and to ask God and pray. You can pray quietly in your seat. You can pray with the person sitting next to you. I don't even mind if you gather in a group, but I'm going to invite Justin up and he's going to play a little bit instrumental. But I want to ask that we pray, church. And I want us to pray about, God, am I spending the time with you that I need? Because I can't be used by you if I'm not being filled up by you. God, am I spending the time with you? Is our church spending time with you so that we can be filled up and learn from you? And church, I would ask that we would pray that we, that you as individuals, that I, that our church would reflect his compassion. When the community, when the lost people around us see us, we may not agree with them, but do they say, man, they may not agree with us, but they're a compassionate people. And so I just want you guys to take that time, that quiet time, you pray with the person next to you and just take those two things to God. God, am I spending, are we as a church spending the time we need? And am I reflecting your compassion? Father, as your people continue to pray in this room and online, help us desire to be with you. Help that be the desire of our life, to spend time with you. Because if we do, God, you will radically change our lives, our families, our communities, this church. God, we pray, Lord, that you would just pour your life into us, your love into us. God, that we would experience the intimacy and the relationship with you that you created us for. God, when we look at our calendars, are we prioritizing spending time and to just be with you? We even see that Jesus, when he was here on earth, fully God and fully man, he went away to be with the Father. Here in our passage, Jesus is inviting his disciples to come and rest and just to be with him. And God, I pray, Lord, that when we are with you, we respond to you and that you would radically transform our lives from the inside out. And God, that what pours out of us no longer looks like us, but looks like you. And that when the world would look at us, they would say, man, they are compassionate people. God, that our lives, if people were to look at us, we would be convicted of being Christ followers because our lives look like Jesus. So God, we pray, Lord, that you would use this time just to direct and lead us as we go into the rest of this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. So church, we spend time with and we rest with Jesus. We reflect his compassion. And then number three, to be a part of what Jesus is doing, church, this is number three. We must rely on Jesus. We must rely on Jesus. We're going to camp out here for a bit, but this is just so, so good. Look at what happens in verse 34 and 35. He, Jesus, began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came and said to him, this place is desolate and it's already quite late. Jesus, would you send them away so they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat? But Jesus answered, don't miss this, church. Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. The disciples see the need. Right? They see the need. They see that it's a physical need. It's late. The people are hungry. They're probably hangry, right? And so the disciples, they go to Jesus with a suggestion. And they say, let's send them out, Jesus, so they can go to Chick-fil-A or get some Kansas City barbecue in town, right? Let's go. They need to go and get them some food. But Jesus says, no. You give them something to eat. Don't miss what's happening here. Jesus is calling them in to be a part of what he is doing. He's inviting them in to be used by God. Think about this, church. Jesus could have provided food however he wanted. He could have had fish just jump out of the water onto the shore. He's done something like that before, hasn't he? Right? When Peter and others had been out fishing all day long, they'd not had any luck, and these were trained fishermen. They knew when to fish and where to fish. But Jesus walks up, he says, hey, go out there a little bit. In Luke chapter 5, go out there a little bit. Go out into the water a little bit. Throw your nets in. But Jesus, we've already done, just go out there a little bit. And the Bible says that Jesus filled their nets with so many fish, it was breaking their nets. Jesus could have just made bread rain down from heaven. Right? We've seen that before in Exodus 16, right? God feeds the nation of Israel with food from heaven. Jesus could have just made this happen. But he invites the disciples to be a part of this miracle. Jesus chose to use his followers to be used by God, to be the hands and feet of God, to meet the needs of these people. And so they hear Jesus and they begin to think about how can we accomplish this? Jesus says, okay, we're supposed to feed them. How can we accomplish this within our own ability, within our own human ability and resources? And the response is a lot like ours sometimes, church. Lord, I hear you. I hear you, Lord, but we don't have the ability to do it. We can't make this happen. Jesus, I know you're good at math. You created math, but there are thousands of people here. Should we just go buy 200 denarii worth of bread for them? Here's how big a statement that was. One denarii was about one day's worth of pay. And so they're saying, Jesus, should we go spend 8 months worth of pay to feed them food? Jesus, how could we even do that? Do we even have enough money, right? And if we did have enough money, how would we carry it all back? And if we were able to carry it all back, it would take us all night to accomplish this. Jesus, we don't have the ability or the capacity to make this happen. Don't miss this, church. We can't do it, Jesus, but church, God is not limited by our capacity. He's not limited by our resources or our abilities or by our wealth. But he invites us and calls us to be a part of what he's doing. He's allowing us to use what he has already given us to glorify him and to be used by him to accomplish his mission. And so they're saying, Jesus, we're not able. And then Jesus says, hey, what? Tell me what you already have. Verse 38, Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go out and look. And when they found out, they said, we've got 5 loaves, Jesus, and 2 fish. How much food do we already have here now? Go and see what we already have. Go and see what God has already provided. They come back, Jesus, 5 loaves, 2 fish. John chapter 6 tells us where they found it. It says that there was a young lad that had this food with him. We don't know much more about that. It could have been left over from lunch. It could have been dinner. It could have been that he picked it up on the market on his way home and just happened to stop by, right, to hear Jesus. But they take what they had in the crowd to Jesus. And Jesus is about to show him that with him, there is always enough. God is not limited by your capacity, by our limited resources, by our abilities. He just wants us to bring to him what we have, church. And then he shows them and he's showing us that he is always sufficient. No matter what God calls you or me or our church to do, Jesus is always sufficient to provide what we need to accomplish that. Jesus calls these disciples to do something beyond themselves. Why? So that they would go to him. So that they would seek him. So that they would ask of him. So that they would rely on him and depend on him. And so that they would know that he is enough, that he is always sufficient. Church, we're not able, but he's more than enough. Amen? Jesus says, how much do you have? 5 loaves, 2 fish, Jesus. Now look at verse 39. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. In other passages, you'll see that Jesus told the disciples to have them sit down. They sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up toward heaven. He blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving to the disciples to set before them, and he divided up the 2 fish among them. Jesus says to the disciples, tell these thousands of people. And church, you need to know, this isn't just 5,000 people, it's 5,000 men. It's estimated there were 20,000 people there. Tell these thousands of people to sit down in groups of 50s or hundreds. Now, this is important to understand. Why do we have that detail? Because to sit down a large group of people in 50s or 100s was to prepare them for a banquet. We got to understand what he's saying here. Jesus is preparing them not for just a snack to get through the night. He's preparing them for a banquet meal. And I can imagine what we probably would have done. Jesus, I'm not sure you heard me right. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus says, I need you to go and do this. I need you to prepare these people. Get them ready not to just snack, but to feast. You know what they say with their actions? Okay. Yes. Have you ever had Jesus call you to do something and ask you to do something, but you have no idea how it's going to happen? I remember when Jessica and I felt that God was doing something in our life when I was pastoring in Kansas City, but we didn't know what it was. And so what did we do? We knew God was calling us, but we didn't know what it was. And so what did we do? We went to the Lord. We rested with Jesus. We sought Jesus. We asked of Jesus. We invited others to pray with us to seek Jesus. We went to the Lord, church. We knew God was in charge of the big picture. And we prayed that he knew what we didn't. God, you know what we don't know. And so our first step was just to go to God and to invite others to go with us. And then once we knew, there was clarity, church, that God wanted us to plant a church. And so we just kept taking that next step and that next step and that next step with him. Church, Tucson was nowhere on our radar. We began to start trying to plant a church in Tucson or in Kansas City. Tucson wasn't anywhere on our radar. We had no desire to come here. There wasn't even an inkling. It didn't even pop up on our minds. But Jesus knew it's where he was sending us. He just wanted us to keep coming to him and keep trusting in him and keep walking with him and keep taking that next step with him. And guys, we gave Jesus our yes. And eventually, our yes led us to Tucson. And then you know what happened? I don't know if you've understood the culture around Tucson and the spiritual reality that Jeff was talking about. 90 plus people are going to die and go to hell if they don't know Jesus. Most of the people in this city don't go to church. And we're sitting there thinking, God, we don't know how in the world you're going to use us. How is any of this going to work? We don't have the money. We don't have the resources. I don't know that we can do this, God. We didn't know how it would happen, but we knew the one who did. And so we just kept walking with him. And Jesus kept leading and providing and opened the doors that we didn't even know were there. And we just walked through them. He provided the partners we needed, church. He provided the resources. He provided the people to be on our team. He provided our location and the equipment. God kept showing us the next step. He continued to provide. I'm so glad that Jessica and I, we went to Jesus and trusted Jesus and gave Jesus our yes even more before we knew the miracle that was going to happen. Otherwise, Jessica and I would have missed out on all of this. And you know, here's the great thing. He's still the same God, the same Lord that he was with these hungry people in Mark chapter 6. He's still the same God that called Jessica and I to Tucson. He's still the same as he was when we planted or when he planted Authentic Life Church. And he's still wanting to do things in and through our church that only he can take credit for. We just need to have our yes on the table before we even know how the miracle's going to happen. We just need to trust in what God is calling us to do, knowing that he's fully able. And that's what's happening here. Jesus says, I need your yes. And so they say yes, and they just take the step and they trust Jesus. They don't know how it's going to happen. But Jesus says, I'm going to use you. I want you to be a part of this miracle. I'm going to use you. I'm going to do something in and through you. And so they first come to Jesus. Then they see what God has already provided for them, which is not enough, but then they just trust Jesus. And then they set the people down, get them ready to eat a feast. And then Jesus gives the food to the disciples. He puts it in their hands so that they could be a part of what God was doing. Jesus is the provision. He just uses them to love on these people and to feed the people and meet the needs that God had of the people that God had placed in their lives. And I love verse 41. Sometimes we can miss if we just read through this passage. But it says in verse 41 that Jesus kept giving them the food. You know what that means? It means they kept coming back to Jesus for his provision. And then they'd go out and they would serve the food. And then they would come back to Jesus again for his provision. And then they would go out again to serve the people. And then they would come back again to Jesus. Are you with me, church? They keep coming back and they keep coming back again and again because they knew the mission was too big without Jesus. The needs are too great for them to meet without Jesus. They know that he is the provider. He is where they need to keep returning to and keep seeking and keep being filled up until the work is done. Sometimes we're blessed by God. We go to God and then we start trying to do it on our own. But they keep coming back to Jesus, and Jesus kept giving them the food. As we serve and minister and use the gifts God has given us and the resources God has given us, we're to keep on remaining faithful to what God has called us to do. We keep going. We keep coming to Jesus, and we keep going out to be used by Jesus. Church, 5,000 people, probably 15,000 men or women and children. Think about right around here. We have thousands of people in our area that we believe God has pointed out for us to be our mission field. We're the only church reaching over 25,000 people. People who don't have a church home, people that will die and go to hell without Jesus. So we got to continue to remain faithful and to keep coming to Jesus and walking with Jesus and trusting Jesus and asking Jesus to use us. We got to keep our yes on the table with Jesus and remember that he's the miracle worker. He's the source. He's in charge. But praise God, he wants to use us. It's overwhelming. But the little that we can offer is way more than enough for him. He wants to use you and me to be a part of the miracle of reaching the city with the love and gospel of Jesus. He wants to use us to meet the needs of those around us. And I love what verse 42 says. It says, they all ate and were satisfied. They were satisfied. Verse 43, and they picked up, church, they've served everybody. And everybody's bellies are full, and they pick up still 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. The 12 disciples had full baskets for them after they just fed about 20,000 people, and all that ate were satisfied. John's account says this, that all the people, they not only had what they needed, but had what they wanted. Jesus is able to satisfy the deepest need, and he can and will use you and I and our church to meet that need. And so we remain with Jesus. We keep coming to Jesus to provide. We don't see the disciples only come to him a few times, right, and then give up. They don't just go out and feed a couple hundred people and say, hey, God, I did my work. Now I'm done. No, they keep coming back after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and they never stop coming because they never stop trusting Jesus. They never stop doubting that Jesus is going to put more food in their hands. They keep coming, they keep trusting, they keep believing that he's the source, and that allowed them to be used by Jesus. If at any point they stop coming, they're going to stop being used. Because as we saw, they can't meet the need on their own. But Jesus was all sufficient. He's sufficient to meet your needs and my needs and our church's needs and this community's needs. Church, in your notes, he meets the needs in our life and he meets the needs of our church. Even when at times in our life where we didn't know how we were going to do it, the Lord always provided. He keeps making ways for our church to be used by him. And church, I pray that we always seek the Lord and rest with the Lord and spend time with him. I pray that we always reflect his compassion toward one another, but also to those who need Jesus and who need a church home and those who have other needs, because Jesus will often use us as he did with these disciples. Church, he's going to meet the needs of the people. He is the provision, but he often meets others' needs through our lives. The last thing is this: receive and experience the blessing of Jesus. The disciples went to Jesus, they listened to Jesus, they responded to Jesus, they put their yes on the table. Church, they wrote Jesus a blank check and said, you fill it out, I'll just sign it. They put their yes out there before they even knew what Jesus was going to do. And then by trusting and obeying and seeking Jesus, they were used and they got to be a part of this amazing miracle. And then in return, they also received and experienced the blessing of Jesus. They received the blessing of just being involved in this miracle. I think about all that God has done here at Authentic Life. It's only him. And I get to be a part of it. They were blessed just to see Jesus do what only he could do. They were blessed by a basket full of food. Church, I want us, I want our church to receive and experience the blessing of Jesus. I want us to be used by Jesus. I want us to seek him and trust him and follow him and go where he goes and where he leads and do whatever he invites us to do. Church, it takes all of us. We're to seek God in prayer individually and together. We're to spend time with him in prayer and then to reflect his compassion toward one another and to the city around us. Jesus wants to do things in and through us, and so we pray. Let's keep our eyes open. What is God doing? Let's be ready to be used by him. Let's be a part of the miracle of Tucson being turned upside down with the gospel. I'm sick and tired of Satan having a grip on the people that Jesus loves here in this city. And Jesus wants to use us right here at Authentic Life to turn this city upside down with the gospel. Let's be a part of the miracle. Church, in this time, I want to invite us again to pray. As Justin comes up, pray, God, where are you at work around us? God, how do you want to use me? How do you want to use Authentic Life Church? And just say, God, here is my yes. Here's our church's yes. We're the church. It ain't this building. Here's our yes. Where are you at work? We want to be a part of that. And so church, as they come and prepare to play, just start praying. Just seek God and trust God and give him our yes to be a part of what he's doing. Authentic Life Church, seek you individually. We come to you corporately. God, we want to be used by you. We want to be a part of what you're doing. God, you just want us to say yes. God, the abilities, the giftings, the resources that we have, they all come from you and they're to be used for your glory. God, I pray, Lord, for people that are a part of our church, help them jump in and dive in and serve and use the gifts that you've already given and watch you multiply. God, I pray, Lord, as a church that we would give faithfully to you of our, not only our abilities, but our resources and watch you multiply. God, I pray, Lord, as a church, starting with me, that we would just give our full surrender and just give you our yes and watch you multiply. And we pray, Lord, that you're glorified. In Jesus' name.